But if you're like me, there's been times where I have found prayer a little bit difficult. Anyone else like me? The rest of you are probably more super spiritual than me. We know prayer is important. We know it's essential to our Christian walk, but it's hard. And there's a time where the disciples came to Jesus and said the same thing. They said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to figure this out because we're struggling in this space." It's up on the screen there. And Jesus' response to that request for teach us to pray, he gave them a simple prayer. Not something they were just supposed to memorize and just spit out of their mouth and they had nothing else to say. He was giving them an example on what prayer, what the value of prayer was and the foundations of prayer. He starts off by teaching them who we're praying to. And this is a familiar scripture that we all know. We call the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus tells his disciples, he said, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Now we'll just stop there because that's as far as we're going to get today. And in week one, we looked at who we pray to. We talked about our loving, powerful Father that is not sitting away in the distance. That our Father is around us. He is so close to us as much as the air is to us. And so when we pray, Jesus is saying, when we pray, the most important thing to remember is who we're praying to. And our song that we sung today, He's a good, good Father. And you are loved by Him. And so Jesus is setting the foundation. When we pray, how is someone secondary to who? And so who it is we're praying to a good, good Father. A Father who is slow to anger. A Father who is full of compassion. And so the word we as Christians use today, if you've been in church any length of time, or if you've heard any teaching on prayer, the word we typically use is the word adoration. We go, "Hallowed be your name." We honour His name and we adore Him. And so that's the front end of that verse, our Father in heaven. And then we looked last week regarding verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." We talked about our daily needs. We talked about the big things and we talked about the small things. And Jesus invites us to bring them before Him and to trust Him. And throughout the Gospels, we saw how Jesus never, never, never ignores a cry for help. And so, the church word we use, the first one was adoration. The word we use for verse 11 is particularly petition, when we're asking God for the needs and the situations we have for ourselves. So I want to start there, but now I want to look at some of the other things Jesus said about prayer. And let's have a think about this, because I think as we read it, you might notice a disconnect. And we're going to talk about that disconnect, the challenge some of these things provide. Let's go to this one. First one. Jesus said, "And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened." Another verse. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May it be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you," He repeats it, "you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Jesus said that. Next verse. Another thing Jesus said, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so the Son can bring glory to the Father." Yes, ask me for some things. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. One more verse. "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." I think we know these, well, I think many of you may know these verses. They're certainly Jesus' words, because in your Bible, if you've got a paper Bible, if you still, which is great, they're in red. Who knows the red verses? They're the words that Jesus said. And so all those verses I just read are His words. But the challenge I have, maybe the challenge you have in this space, is do we actually believe that?
Well, yeah, Mark, we do, because Jesus said that.
Okay. The next part of the question is, have we actually experienced that? There's a challenge, huh? This is a challenge for all of us. Because maybe you've had times when you've seen the wonder of God at work. Maybe you've had a time when God just stepped into your world miraculously. He just impacted and brought healing or breakthrough or favor or provision. And I'm sure maybe you've had a time like that. Or maybe you've heard stories. I've heard plenty of stories of God's kingdom invading earth. Lives being touched and healing and miracles and provision. And I've heard stories even just recently. Dave Bean was telling me he did a wedding a few weeks ago, and one of the uncles that were there was on his deathbed, the tumor on his head, and at the end of the story was that the tumor fell off his head and he turned up to the wedding, you know. And you hear those stories and you go, hey, that's just amazing, you know. And who's heard stories like that? You know, and sometimes we hear those stories and we go, yes, come on, God, yay, God. Sometimes we hear those stories and we go, yeah, but. We say, well, that's great for that uncle. But what about me? What about my uncle? What about my aunt? What about my friend? What about my husband? What about my wife? What about my marriage? And it's hard to celebrate for someone when you've got this tension within yourself. Or maybe you're in a situation and you're right now, you're here and you are longing. You are saying, Mark, I am waiting for something to happen where I can ask and see it provided. Maybe you're crying. I know in our church family, there's people with real situations that need heaven to invade. I know you're here. I know some of you. I know some of your stories. I know some of your needs. It seems to me for every miraculous answer to prayer that there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of unanswered prayers. Times when we see that God, that prayer releases power to bring change to our situation. And times when prayer seems to do nothing. Can anyone connect with what other attention here? There's times where, wow, that's amazing. Times when, does prayer work? Times when God moves so quickly. And God comes and moves and does only God things. And there's times when the promise or provision takes a long, long, long time. The book that we're partnering with through our course, Alexander, you've got a few more up there. I stole this one back. It'll go back there. So there's one left. Well, there's probably more, but this one will go back. Tyler Staten in his book, he says this. When we talk about this tension, he says, here's where our prayer lives. Now, this is where our prayers live paralyzed between wonder and mystery. It's in that tension where our prayer, we're stuck because we're stuck between, yes, God can do it, and yet the mystery of what's going on. There are times when we may be able to pray like Jesus. There's four verses I read before. There's plenty more verses. We can pray like that. Times when we pray with faith and boldness and conviction. But most of the time, we're praying, wrestling with doubt and disappointment and confusion. Tyler goes on to say, instead of praying the types of prayers that Jesus told us to pray, instead of praying bold and faithful prayers, he goes on to say, we pray the safest kinds of prayers. The ones so passive and big, we'd never be able to tell if God responded to them or not. This is the type of prayers we can pray when we are paralyzed between wonder and mystery. And I found this really challenging. Because I felt the Lord asked me, Mark, what type of prayers do I pray? What do I really believe about prayer? And I'm not talking about the volume of prayer. I'm not saying that if I pray louder, I'm more faith-filled. But what type of prayer do I pray? What do I believe about prayer? And I found myself over this time of preparation and reading and considering and looking and asking God, you know, I said, Jesus, I want to pray like you pray. I want to pray the way you encourage me to pray. I want to pray like that. So now let's go back to our Lord's Prayer. You know, we talked about when it comes to prayer, we can all accept adoration. We can all accept okay, well, God in heaven, we can say, okay, I get that. We can honor him. We can hallow him. We can do that. And we can certainly petition because you know, when we've got our prayer list and we need help, and so it's very easy for us. We understand that prayer is great for adoration and is great for petition. What about the verse in between? What about this one? What about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What about that one? How do we pray into that one? According to Jesus, remember this is written in red as well. I don't do it in red here because some people are colorblind. Joel? Dave, where's Dave? There you go. Red. Red ones are Jesus' words, Dave. Just to let you know. Okay. Not that you can see them. Anyone else can't see red? Really? Don't drive your own Hannah at the traffic lights. It's the top one. Okay. What about this verse? According to Jesus, it seems that his kingdom had not fully come yet. According to Jesus, it would seem that God's will hasn't fully been done yet. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, his death and resurrection certainly inaugurated a new kingdom with a new king. But we are still living in the gap. We still find ourselves today living in the gap. The tension between what is, a place of mystery, the tension between there and the place of what will be, the place of promise and provision and wonder. This is the gap that we inhabit. This is the space that you and I dwell, in the place between mystery and wonder, what is and what is yet to come. If you have a chance to listen to the podcast, John Mark Comer presents an idea that prayer is the link between what is and what is yet to come. That we get the opportunity to partner with God, to cooperate with God, to participate with God, to bring about his kingdom to earth. That is the link. And again, he goes on, I'm not going to talk about it, but they go on to talk about God's original intent in the Garden of Eden was to place man into the garden, to represent, to intercede, to stand in between heaven and earth to bring God's kingdom to earth. On earth as it is in heaven. But ultimately that was corrupted by sin, but restored to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus and his work of his Spirit in us and through us. So the gap, we inhabit the gap. And the word that the scripture, we talked adoration, we talked about petition, the one in between is the word intercession. Where we are standing in a space where we're asking for God's kingdom to come on earth, to all the places it hasn't come yet, to all the people that it is lacking. Intercession is standing in the gap, praying for God's kingdom to come and bring freedom to the captives. That's where intercession starts. It's our love for others that acknowledges there are people still in captivity, where God's kingdom hasn't fully realized And intercession says, God, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Perhaps our prayer of intercession is for God's kingdom to bring justice to the oppressed. We look around the world and there's so much persecution and oppression. Where God's kingdom hasn't fully come. Perhaps intercession starts there and says, God, would you bring justice to those who are oppressed? Would you bring healing to the hurting? Would you bring hope to the hopeless? Would you bring salvation to the lost? Would you bring your kingdom power to the lost and the last and the least? That's standing in the gap. That's understanding that there are people and places that are that haven't fully, that God's kingdom hasn't fully manifested in. And we are standing in the gap between heaven and earth, between God's kingdom and man's domain, and we are saying, God, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Intercession. See, God doesn't need intercessors to manage his creation. God is not looking at the world and going, oh man alive, there's so much to do. I need some others to help me. God is fully capable of ruling and reigning and bringing about his kingdom to earth. He's fully able to do that because he is God. If he couldn't do that, he wouldn't be God. But this is the thing, God doesn't need intercessors. He doesn't need people to stand in the gap. But he chooses them. He chooses to use them. He chooses to invite us to partner with him. God is choosing and looking and inviting each one of us to say, will you stand in the gap? Will you partner with heaven to see lives changed on earth? And in that standing in the gap, in that relationship, in that walking and talking with God, in praying and believing for his kingdom to come on earth, God also invites us to this space of all we've been learning about prayer is conversation. But even the idea of negotiation. If we're wondering, does my prayers make a difference? Will God actually do anything about my prayers? It's a fascinating story in Genesis. You may know the story. Sodom and Gomorrah are about to be destroyed. And Abraham intercedes. He stands in the gap between God, who wants to judge and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the people. You may know another story, and God says to Abraham, would you destroy it if there are 50 righteous people? And God goes, no, if you can find 50, I won't destroy it. Then he goes, well, and I heard on the podcast, I think, was talking about this is very Middle Eastern and it's very bartering. And so if you go to Middle East and the bazaars and the barter concept, you sort of, well, you have about 50, or and you haggle between that. And it's almost a little bit like a haggle, except God says yes to everything. Would you destroy it for 50? No. Would you destroy it for 45? No. Would you destroy it for 40? No. Would you destroy it for 30? No. I mean, this is recorded in Scripture, Genesis 18. Would you destroy it for 10? And God says no. See, God is willing to engage in dialogue. God is willing for you to be asking questions and asking him to rethink and reprocess and readjust his plans and his purpose. Ultimately, they couldn't even find 10, and God would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But we learn through Abraham, it's okay to haggle with God. It's okay to say, God, you know what, it looks like this is happening, but would you step in? It's okay. And another passage in Exodus, we know that when Moses went up to give the Ten Commandments, while he was up there, the nation did the whole golden calf thing. Anyway, God ticked off at the nation, and God decides to destroy the nation because they had abandoned him and built a golden calf to worship. And so Moses, here's what God says, because God's saying, I'm going to abandon the nation, I'm going to start again with you. And Moses in Exodus 32 says to God, he says this to God Almighty. He says, turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. Moses was willing to stand in a gap and to challenge God and ask God, would you change your mind? Would you adjust your timelines? Would you? It's fascinating. And then we look at verse 14. So the Lord what? Changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. I say all this to let you know that your prayers change things. Your prayers are powerful. If you may be wondering, will my prayers accomplish anything? Does God hear my prayers? Will God act? Here we're seeing that there's this invitation we have to walk and talk and negotiate and understand the goodness of God and try to ask the goodness of ask God to reveal his nature and his character and his goodness and situations that we get to partner with him to shape the arc of human history. What a powerful thing that you and I are invited to step into this space. I wonder what would have happened if Moses didn't intervene. See, this idea of standing in the gap happens in Scripture time and time again. We find people praying for others. We find people praying for God to work, for God to come and to transform and to bring about his purposes and his plans. For God's kingdom to invade situations and extend lives and heal. And a whole rack. Scripture is full of times when we see people standing in the gap, interceding for others. I want to look at one more story in the New Testament before we close. A story in Acts chapter 12. The background of this, well, Peter is in prison by King Herod. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, it says that he, which is King Herod, imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. That's 16 people, soldiers. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The church stood in the gap. The church saw that Peter was in prison, and they saw that for that wasn't God's kingdom coming when Peter is in prison and being persecuted. So they prayed earnestly for Peter. And if you know the story, it's an amazing next 10 verses. I'm not going to read them, but the next 10 verses talk about the church praying, remember the church interceding for that. And then we talk about angels appearing in Peter's cell. We talk about his chains falling off. We talk about the prison doors being opened. We talk about a supernatural, miraculous work of the kingdom invading a prison cell. And Peter just walking out away from the 16 prisoners, and he finds himself walking back to the house where the church prayer meeting was happening. Wonder. Isn't that amazing? That is such an amazing story of the wonder of God, the manifestation of the kingdom of God in someone's life. And we love that story. God invading earth. But let's dial it back a couple of verses. Let's go to the first three verses. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with the sword. When Herod saw this, when he saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Wonder and mystery. God delivering. And it not happening. I mean, I'm sure the church would have been praying for James too. I'm sure the church isn't their favorite, so, James is in prison, well, good luck with that. But Peter, let's pray for him. I'm convinced the church would have been interceding for James and praying for James and praying for his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, to come and step into James's prison cell. But the outcome wasn't what they would have been praying for. Look, I'm sure you know what this is like. You pray, and it seems the opposite happened. You pray, and they don't recover. You pray, and they walk out on you. You pray, and the bank says no. You pray, and the wars still rage around the world. You pray, and the hurricanes still come, and they destroy cities and people. You pray, and you didn't get the promotion. I'm sure you can understand, or you can relate to that when you pray, when you're interceding, when you're hoping, when you're wishing, when you're saying, God, will you do something? Maybe you can relate to a prayer of Peter, or maybe you can relate to a prayer for James. For every prayer of Peter, there's likely a prayer for James. And like Tyler said in his book, it's in this space where we get paralyzed, caught between mystery, James, and wonder, Peter. It's in this gap, it's in this place where we're called to stand between the now and the not yet. That we've got to be careful we don't get paralyzed by the tension. And like Tyler said, it's when we're standing in this space, we've got to be careful that we don't retreat from bold, faith-filled, Jesus-type prayers. It's in the tension, we don't want to retreat to safe, passive prayers. You know, I'm not too sure that God is looking for safe, passive prayers for his representatives on earth. How do I know that? Because I look at what Jesus is telling us how to pray. And I'm not too sure that I want to be a safe, passive, faithless, whatever happens will happen. Que sera, sera. Do my prayers matter? Is anything going to change? I'm not sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure that God, that is not the type of prayer that God is looking for. Remember, I said it's not about someone who can yell and scream and get blue in the face and declare. It's not about that type of prayer. It's not the volume of prayer. It's the posture of your heart. What type of prayer do you believe God's calling you to pray? Are you called? Do you feel that you're called to pray like Jesus? Or to remain paralyzed in a space, stuck in the mystery? You know, I've discovered in the mystery, and I've been plenty of spaces in the mystery, as you have. I've discovered that my faith in God is not dependent on my prayers being answered. My faith in God is anchored in his word. My faith is anchored in his nature and his character. My faith is anchored in his power and his purpose and plans. Whether or not my prayer, this is my space in the mystery, whether or not the outcome is a Peter or the outcome is a James, my prayer doesn't shift. Well, I'd like to think it doesn't shift. That's where I want to be. But there's times when I do get paralyzed, like you do. Unsure what to do in the mystery. I'm reminded of who God is and who I am. You know, sometimes my prayers change others, change circumstances. Sometimes my prayers bring healing and breakthrough. Other times, my prayers change me. Something practical for you. And I borrowed this thought from this book. Think through the last week. Think through your last week. Think about everything you prayed for. What would happen if God answers one of your prayers? Could it be that very little would actually happen? Because you're praying from a paralyzed state between wonder and mystery. And that you're praying a prayer that is so, oh God, just do whatever. That you haven't prayed a prayer that is inviting God to move. Could it be that very little would happen because we have retreated to a place of safe, comfortable prayers? And as I was preparing and reading and thinking, that's where I found myself a little bit. Maybe you can connect to this, because maybe you've found yourself a little bit retreating from the place where you believe God wants you to be, and you're looking at this and that and circumstances, and slowly you're adjusting and you're praying and you're thinking and slowly you're retreating into a safe place where, oh God, you're God, you do whatever. That's where I found myself as I was preparing. And I, like you, I hope, I want to pray like Jesus. Anyone else want to pray like Jesus? Me too. And I, like you, I want to see God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anyone else want to see that fully outworked? Fully outworked in your family or your friends or your work or your relationship or whatever you're facing? I want to see that happen. And I'm sure you do too. And I like you, I do like you, but I, comma, like you, comma, like the disciples, can struggle to pray that kind of prayer. And I wonder what would happen. I just wonder, what would happen in our church? In your family, in our community, in our city. I wonder what would happen if every single one of us took the invitation of Jesus seriously. To stand in the gap. To occupy the mystery. Not paralyzed and retreating, but occupy the mystery. Believing in faith and praying God's kingdom from heaven to earth. I wonder what would happen if we changed our perspective and our thoughts, and if we occupied this space believing and trusting as Jesus did for heaven to come. That we'd stand in the gap. That we'd partner with him. As I said, I've been challenged over these weeks as I've been praying and preparing. My challenge is that, next slide, thanks, that I would be bold in my prayers. That I would be bold enough to believe for God to move, for God to care, for a spirit to come and power to transform. Challenge to be bold. Challenge to be specific. Specific enough that when God does move, that I'd notice. That I would say, that I'd come to God with a specific need, and I would be bold to believe and specific enough to see what God's done something. That I'd be unwavering. That I would be, that as I stand in the mystery, that my faith would be unwavering. Even when things don't turn out the way I expect. And lastly, to be persistent. For me to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. That's what Jesus said. Next verse. That's what I want to do when I inhabit the mystery. That's what I want to be when I stand in that place between the now and the not yet. That's what I want to do when God says, Mark, I'm calling you, I'm inviting you to partner with me, to stand in the gap between heaven and earth to bring my kingdom to be fully realized and fully outworked. What about you? Maybe I'll team up with how things go. So that's for me. That's for Mark. What about you? What are you going to do in the place of mystery? How are you going to pray in the place between the now and the not yet? What are your prayers going to look like? How's your belief going to transform your language and your thoughts? What do you believe about a good God? What do you believe in a God who actually is available and calling you to want to partner with him, to see his kingdom come, his will be done, that we could partner with him to help the narrative of history to conform to his will? What about you? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Might we close our eyes, please? Father God, I just thank you that you're good. You're always good. And Lord, we are blown away by the fact that you invite us to partner with you to see your kingdom come on earth. And Lord, well, maybe you're here today like me and you feel inadequate. Give me a little wave if you think I'm inadequate to do that. I'm not good enough. I don't pray well. Anyone else would say, yeah, that's me. Of course, that's all of us. Lord, I pray that today that you'd help us to see that it's not about our adequacy. It's about our willingness to partner with you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand you're calling all of us to stand in the gap between heaven and earth and to see your kingdom fully outworked through us. What a privilege that is. How humbling that is. Lord, I pray that we as a church family, as we journey through these 4 weeks, Lord, you'd help us to want to pray like you. Jesus, that you'd stir us, through your spirit, you'd inspire us, that you'd fill us with a greater understanding of who you are and who we are and the right and authority that we have to stand in that gap. I pray that would impact us and our families in our church. So Lord, this morning we come before you as a family, here and online. And I'm reminded of us when Isaiah, as Jeremiah, stood before God and said, who would go to these people? Who would be willing to stand in the gap? And he said, here am I. Send me. So maybe this morning I want to give you something practical. If my eyes closed or open, I don't mind. But if you're here this morning and you want to say, you know, Jesus, I want to stand in the gap. I want to. I'm not there yet, but my posture, my intention, my desire is to be in that gap. If that's you, why don't you stand with me? And say, I want to stand in the gap. I want to pray. I want to be. I understand that who you're calling me to be and calling me to do. I want to stand in the gap. I don't want to be paralyzed in the mystery anymore. Maybe you're here and you're stuck in the mystery. Stuck in a situation that looks more like a James situation than a Peter situation. If that's you, I want you to capture that thought and understand that in that mystery that God is calling you to stand. If that's you, stand with us. Stand in the mystery. Embrace where things are at and believe that God can move and step and change and transform. Would you be dare enough to be bold enough and gutsy enough to say to God, would you move? So Jesus, I want to pray for those in our family that are standing and responding. Those that are acknowledging the mystery and those that are acknowledging their insufficiency, Lord, I pray that we'd understand who you are and who you've called us to be. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to stand in the gap, that we'd understand the role we have as intercessors, as representatives between heaven and earth. And Lord God, that as we embrace that, even in the mystery, even in our brokenness and in our insufficiency, Lord, that we would truly see your kingdom come and transform families and churches and cities and relationships. Why don't we all of us stand there? We're going to. And so today, Lord, as a church family, Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. Help us not to retreat backwards, but help us to advance your kingdom, to believe in faith, to ask and keep on asking, to knock and keep on knocking, to trust and keep on trusting, to pray and keep on praying, to believe and keep on believing. Help us not to retreat, but help us to take ground in our minds and in the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We just go, as we put a full stop on the service, let's make it a comma because you're going to walk out with God's Spirit at work. But we're just going to sing. If you're here this morning, we've got a prayer team that's available. They'd like to pray with you. If you've got a need or a situation, or you're just sitting, God, just stirring, you've got a team that'd love to pray with you. But just take a few moments and we're just going to spend a moment and put a seal on what God said to us today.
When I fight on my knees, my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing to the night.